Today with Joseph Prince.
If we can only be forgiven of sins that we are aware of, then indeed our forgiveness is very, very poor. We of all people ought to be pitied. We cannot be forgiven based on our knowledge of our sins, but knowing that Jesus, in His perfect knowledge of all our sins, when He died on the cross, it covers and includes even sins of ignorance and sins that are unintentional, that we don't even are aware of. Amen. Sins that we're not even cognizant of. Jesus has borne it all in His own body on the tree. Hallelujah! Jesus took your curse of depression, evil thoughts, filthy imaginations. He took it all and He paid it all so that He can crown you with the peace that passes understanding. Receive that peace in Jesus' name. It is paid for. Receive it. Amen. Hallelujah. Something good is going to happen to you in this service.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, I want to share with you about the trespass offering. Everyone say with me, trespass offering. Now, the trespass offering is the last of the five offerings mentioned in the book of Leviticus. It takes five offerings to depict the one and final offering of Christ on the cross for all of us. It takes five offerings to depict His life and His death. Okay, four offerings actually about His death. One offering, the meal offering, is about His life. But they're all found in the book of Leviticus. What is the benefit of studying these offerings? You begin to learn in detail what Jesus did for us at the cross. Amen. And the cross, let me tell you this, the cross is everything to the believer. The Christianity without the cross is a religion. Okay? The cross changes everything. It is not a religion. The cross changed everything. So let's look up here. But before we look up at the scriptures, I just want to tell you real quick about the cross and how the offerings depict the cross, okay? The first offering mentioned among the five offerings is called the burnt offering. Say burnt offering. In Hebrew, olah, the ascending offering. Now, the burnt offering is different from the sin offering, even though both talk about Jesus Christ and His death for us on the cross. All right? The sin offering and trespass offering is different from the burnt offering. Let me illustrate, okay? Look up here at this picture of the offerer. The offerer is the one in brown, and the priest is the one with uplifted hands, all white. Okay? So when you and I are the offerer, okay? The one in brown. So we are the ones bringing the lamb, and the lamb has to be without blemish. You all know that. Why must the lamb be without blemish? Because the lamb represents Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ was born into this world, the only unblemished one, sinless one, blameless one, perfect one. He was conceived in His mother's womb. And in one of the offerings called the meal offering, the Bible says the fine flour by which they make a biscuit, a cake, all right? Pierced cake, the matzah bread. Okay, the Bible says that bread will be mingled with oil and also anointed with oil. That oil is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus in His mother's womb, Mary's womb, He was mingled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. 30 years later at the River Jordan, He was anointed of the Holy Spirit. Mingled with oil, anointed with oil. Amen. Now, Jesus is the only baby that, listen carefully, He was conceived but without sin, because He never received anything in terms of His father, His earthly father, Joseph, all right? Not too long ago, all right, for many, many, many generations and, you know, even in the years 15th century, 16th century, men thought that a woman's placenta would give blood to the baby. It wasn't but only not too long ago that the medical science discovered that no blood from the mother goes to the baby, only food. Only supply, nourishment, and taking away the excrement from the child. Okay, no blood from the mother goes to the baby. Now that is interesting. Why? Because Jesus was conceived in the womb of a virgin. Amen. Nothing from Mary's blood goes into Jesus. Now that is important because Mary is a sinner. The baby she carried would save her, like anybody else. All right, so Jesus' blood, and you know that the Father determines the blood of the baby, right? But all the baby's blood came from the Heavenly Father. All right? So his blood was holy. His blood was royal blood. His blood was sinless blood. His blood is divine blood. And that's why that blood can save you and I. That blood can wash away our sins whiter than snow. Amen. And you see, if I die for you, for your sins, it's useless because my blood has sin. All right? If you die for me, it's useless. Your blood is tainted as well. None of us can die for another. Amen. It takes sinless blood to be shed for the guilty. Can I have a good amen? The Bible says it this way in three different places. Jesus knew no sin. Jesus did no sin. In him is no sin. So therefore, the lamb has to be without blemish. All right? So you bring the lamb to the priest because the priest represents God. All right? So you bring the lamb to the priest and the priest does not examine you. Interesting. The priest representing God does not examine you. He examines the lamb. Okay? Amen? Hello, church. Whenever you come to God, God doesn't examine you. Amen? I repeat again. God doesn't examine you. God examines the lamb that you bring. It is not a question of how blameless you are. It's obvious why you are there. You have sin. It's obvious why the offerer is there. He has sin. All right? So the Lord does not look at you. The Lord looks at your lamb. It's not a question of how good you are. It's a question of how good your lamb is. And our lamb is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So that's why when you accept Jesus Christ, God accepts you. You understand? God accepts you in the lamb. When Jesus first appeared publicly to the nation of Israel, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Amen? He's the Lamb of God. So notice, the offerer placed his hands on the lamb. Now this laying on of hands is a picture of identification. Now two things happen when you lay your hands on the lamb. Number one, all right, something goes in the lamb from you. Something goes into the lamb from you. Something goes out of the lamb into you. Now, what goes into the lamb? Sin. Your sins all go into the lamb. When you lay hands on the lamb is without blemish. But when you lay hands on the lamb, all right, it's like Jesus Christ on the cross. When you put your trust in cross, what he did 2,000 years ago, he took all your sins, all right? Your sins are transferred to him. Do you understand that? Okay? But also on the contrary, all right, another thing happens in reverse. The lamb's righteousness goes into you. Oh, hallelujah. When you lay hands, two things happen, all right? There are two ways going. One way is into the lamb that's innocent. The guilty, all right, imparts his sins into the lamb that is holy. The lamb that is holy and righteous imparts into the guilty. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, these two, when you lay hands, all right, and you impart your sins to the lamb, it's called the trespass offering. All right, the sin and trespass offering. But if you lay your hands and the lamb's righteousness goes into you, it's called the burnt offering. Found in chapter 1 of Leviticus. Simple, right? Okay, so are you with me? All right, there are three types. Listen carefully. There are three types of burnt offering. One is a bullock. Bull. That's huge. All right, the middle one is a lamb. And the last one is a pair of pigeons or doves, birds. Notice the varying sizes. It gets smaller from the bullock size to the lamb size to the bird size, which is the smallest. And who brings what as a burnt offering? By the way, when all are killed, all have the same value. Doesn't really matter whether the way your revelation of Jesus is very small and somebody's, Pastor Mark's revelation is very big. Both of you, when you put your trust in Christ, all right, have the same blessing and benefit. Amen. But the bigger your revelation is, all right, the greater your enjoyment of your acceptance. Amen. You understand? Back in those days, why does one person bring a bullock? Usually, it's a person who is of status, a person who has a position or a financial status. Okay, a rich person will bring a bullock size. Amen? A priest will bring a bullock size. Middle income bring a lamb. Those who are poor, they bring a pair of doves, birds, which can easily be found. Now, today, even though this refers to materially rich or poor, today is the reverse. Spiritually speaking, if you have a bullock-sized revelation of Jesus, you are rich spiritually. Amen. You are rich. Now, I don't want to say just spiritually, but it all begins there, and then it goes outward. All right? But if you have a small, many people, you know, they think of Jesus, oh, he came from heaven, like a bird. All right? They have a very small perception of Jesus. Their revelation of Jesus is a bird-sized revelation. But how many are glad that the moment they offer the sacrifice, whether it's a bird or a bullock, the same value is imputed to them. So even in a small revelation, all right, you are safe the moment you put your trust in Jesus. But your enjoyment, the richness by which you enjoy, all right, depends on the size of revelation you have. You okay? Got it? Another thing, this tree, there's a difference is this. In the bullock, the offerer lays hands on the animal. Just like down here. In the lamb, as you can see up here, the offerer lays hands. Okay? And not only that, in the first two, the offerer kills the lamb. So in other words, you bring the lamb because you bring a lamb because you have sinned. Okay? So as you bring the lamb to the tabernacle where God's presence is, the priest is there. He examines your lamb to make sure it's without blemish, to typify Jesus Christ who would come, the Lamb of God. And then after that, he passed the knife to you. No, he takes the, you know, you take the knife. He says, kill the lamb. Now who kills the lamb? You kill the lamb. I don't care whether you have never killed even an ant before. If you have sinned and you bring the bullock, you bring the lamb, you have to kill it. Why? Why must you kill it? Imagine the amount of blood in a bullock is so much more than in a bird. That's why the revelation of the blood makes you rich. Amen. Church, why is it that in the first two, all right, the offerer must kill, but in the last one, the bird, the priest kills? This is the difference. In the last one, the bird offering, the offerer doesn't kill. The priest kills. Why is that so? That goes to show how, you know, this one is the richest one, right? It's so important for us to realize when Jesus died on the cross, it was our sins that killed him. Our sins put him on that cross. He was carrying our sins. Some people, all right, they don't see that. So the priest has to kill the animal, the birds for them. In other words, the priest has to do it. They never saw their sins being the reason why Jesus is there on the cross. Some people watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ, and you know what they say? How terrible how he suffered at the hands of all these people. How come these people are so cruel? How come the Roman people are so cruel? They never see that he was suffering, sent by God in the predetermined knowledge of God. God sent him to die for our sins. They never see that it was their sins that Jesus carried. So if you want to be rich spiritually, you must say, there at the cross, that's my sins he carried. Amen. Amen? Show them the cross, okay? That's your sins that he carried. You know, as the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he deserved a royal diadem, a crown of jewels and precious stones. But instead, he wore a crown of thorns. Why? Because your thoughts and my thoughts are always dirty. Your thoughts and my thoughts are, we're always having depressive thoughts. We're having bad thoughts, dark thoughts. Amen. Amen. Our thoughts are always bad. And you know where we suffer most of the time? Our thoughts. That's why Jesus was crucified at a place called a skull. Redemption must begin in your skull, in our thick heads. Turn to your neighbor and say, talking about you again. All right? It starts there. All right? And he wore a crown of thorns, so the thorn represents the curse. There never was a thorn until Adam sinned. Then God told Adam, thorns and thistles the earth shall bring forth. Why? Because it's a symbol of the curse. So Jesus took your curse of depression, evil thoughts, filthy imaginations. He took it all and he paid it all so that he can crown you with the peace that passes understanding. Amen. Receive that peace. Amen. In Jesus' name. It is paid for. Receive it. Amen? Amen? So, when you see a picture like this, you must say, it was my sins. Amen? That put Jesus on the cross. My sins. And many people who don't have a revelation, people of the world, they will say, he died as a martyr. All right? That's why they are very poor. Okay? In fact, bankrupt spiritually. Now, let's go to the trespass offering. Okay? Trespass offering is what? Your sins go into the sacrifice, into the lamb. Right? So look at this in Leviticus 5. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, if a person commits a trespass and sins unintentionally, In your old King James, it says, he sins in ignorance. Say ignorance. Say unintentionally. In regard to the holy things of the Lord. The holy things of the Lord. In other words, the first category of trespass offering are all sins against God directly. Even in the holy things of the Lord. How many of you know that even when we offer our best services to God, it is tainted with sin? How many of you know that even as we raise our hands and worship God, it is still tainted with sin? How many know that? But does God render that as useless, as nothing, as vain? No. Do you know why? Because the trespass offering takes care of everything. Jesus Christ died for us, all right? In other words, once you know Jesus died as your, notice that, then he shall bring to the Lord as his trespass offering a ram. Who is the ram? The male lamb. Who is the ram? Jesus. Is he your savior? Is he your lamb? Then you know what? Even your sins of ignorance towards God is all forgiven. Your sins of ignorance. Now that really gives you great comfort because, listen church, if we confess sins that we know, then our forgiveness is very poor because there are many things we don't know. If we can only be forgiven of sins that we are aware of, then indeed our forgiveness is very, very poor. We of all people ought to be pitied. We cannot be forgiven based on our knowledge of our sins because there are many sins we're not even aware of, unintentional, even against the holy things of the Lord. But knowing that Jesus, in his perfect knowledge of all our sins, when he died on the cross, it covers and includes even sins of ignorance and sins that are unintentional, that we don't even are aware of. Amen. Sins that we are not even cognizant of. Jesus has borne it all in his own body on the tree. Hallelujah! You know, so that gives what? Rest to my conscience. My conscience says, even sins I don't even know I've committed have all been borne by our Lord Jesus Christ. Even sins that you don't even know you have done against the Lord, Jesus Christ included that in his sacrifice. That's why this trespass offering talks about sins unintentionally. Amen? None of us can catch our sins to confess them all. None of us. So we are not forgiven based on our confession. We are forgiven based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus' blood was shed and Jesus' blood fully met all the full claims of God's divine holiness. Amen? Jesus is the only one who knows all the requirements of divine holiness. And when he offered himself at the cross, all right, his blood fully met, fully vindicated all the divine holiness and the divine claims of a thrice holy God. Amen. And what's the result for us? We just say, I can only take it by faith. I am forgiven. I am forgiven of sins I know, and I am forgiven of sins I'm ignorant of. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but there's a peace here. Amen. There is a deep peace flowing in this place. Can you feel it? Just talking about the trespass offering, man. Hallelujah. Now, that's the first aspect, okay? Sinning against the holy things of the Lord. The second aspect is not a sin against God, as in vertical, but horizontal, man to man, man to man. Look at chapter 6, all right? This is another trespass offering. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, if a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it and swears falsely in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, next, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty that he shall restore what he has stolen. All right? So these are sins between man and man. Got it? So the first aspect of Jesus' sacrifice is to cover and to wash away and to forgive all our sins against God, even sins we don't even know of. That's why at the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The moment he said that, he put us all under the trespass offering. Okay? But the second one is not vertical, it's man to man. You've sinned against other people. All right, it's still a sin against the Lord. That's why in verse 1 of chapter 6, verse 2, excuse me, I underline the word trespass against the Lord. Even though it's man to man, all sins are sins against the Lord. You got it? Okay? Now, what is the remedy? Go back to sin against the Lord, the first one. Okay, the Bible says, what must you do? Bring a ram. So all of us have a ram, right? Jesus Christ, the male lamb. Next verse. And he shall make restitution or restoration for the harm that he has done in regard to the holy thing. So let's suppose, okay, you have killed a lamb that you are supposed to offer at the temple. You are so hungry for mutton or for lamb chops. All right, instead of offering that lamb next week or whatever, you look at the lamb, oh, I look very cute, very delicious. All right, you killed the lamb. So in other words, you have robbed God of something that belonged to him, okay? So all these sins against the Lord, what must you do? You must offer the ram as a trespass offering. Not only that, you must make restitution or restoration for the harm that he has done in regard to the holy thing and shall add 1/5 to it. And give it to the priests. Okay, you know what's 1/5? 20%. 1/5 is 20%. Okay, in other words, you must give back the full value, the whole lamb, plus 20%. Okay, whether you give in terms of the money to the tabernacle or whatever, you have to give back more. In other words, the person who has done wrong must give to God 120% all that he's taken from God. Are you listening? Full restitution is 100%. 1/5 is 20%. 120, that's how I got it. That's why there's 120 in the upper room. That's another question altogether. But the thing is this, you got it, the full restoration. Are you listening, church? All right, watch this. How many of us can give back to God 120%? None. Who can give back to God even 100%? None. 50%? None. 1%? Zilch. None of us can give back to God. So all these things were written not with you in mind. It was written with Jesus in mind, who will come and become our trespass offering. So Jesus took our place. When you look at the cross, again the cross, when you look at the cross, think of this. He is not there for himself. The Bible says he did no sin. He knew no sin. In him is no sin. Why is he there suffering like no other man ever suffered? He is there for you and I. Okay? He took our place. So in other words, if Jesus became our substitute at the cross, guess what? Jesus has to pay God what we have robbed God of. We robbed God of his pleasure, of his praise, of his worship, of his due rights. Amen. When Adam sinned against God, all right, he literally robbed God of the pleasure that God would have. Everything. Everything that man has robbed God of, Jesus paid back to God 120%, much more. Amen. Now, therefore, when you come to God, you must know this. God has become, if I can say it this way, richer. God has become a gainer by the cross. Do you understand? God has reaped a richer harvest of praise, worship, and honor from the fields of redemption than ever he had from creation. If creation never fell, if Adam never sinned, God will get even more glory from what Jesus did than if creation never fell. Do you understand? Because God has gotten 120% much more from who? Supposed to be from you and I, but we cannot. So Jesus took our place and he gave God 120% much more praise, worship, glory, honor. He fully met all the divine claims of God's holiness. He satisfied and magnified the law. He died in our place. The law demands somebody must die for sins. Jesus took our place. That's why, church, listen carefully. The stronger your sense of holiness, the deeper will be your peace if you know the cross. See, the world out there don't care about holiness. For them, you know what? So God's rights are being slighted. So what? All right? But if you have a conscience, and they do have a conscience, they're trying to repress it, but the conscience always says, if God's rights are violated, I have no right to anything. Somebody has to vindicate that right. Amen? Amen? So what happened is that when you realize you have done wrong, okay, something inside you is not satisfied. You know, the world can say all they want to say, but wherever they go, they bring a conscience. A conscience can be a very bad thing if you do not know the cross. It's like walking with a pebble in your shoe. Any of you ever walk around with a pebble in your shoe? You know what it's like? It's very uncomfortable. So when you do something wrong, you can pretend sin doesn't matter. You can pretend, all right, I'm not into sin business and all that. Okay? You can try to repress it, but your conscience is with you. Wherever you go, your conscience is there. You can never enjoy true peace. So what they do, they rebel against God. Some of them rebel and they try to blame Christianity. They try to blame it. And all the while, their problem is actually their sin consciousness. Christianity is the answer. Amen. Are you with me? Unless we understand how terrible sin is, we can never fully appreciate, because when we look at Jesus at the cross, all right, that's how terrible sin is. None of us can pay to God all that we have robbed Him of, but Jesus did. Church, unless we understand how terrible sin is, we're going to understand how wonderful grace is. Okay? God does not hate man. God loves man. Jesus died for all men. How many understand that? But God hates sin, because sin is destroying your health. Sin destroys marriages. Sin destroys relationships. Sin destroys the way you enjoy peace and enjoy life. Sin destroys and mars and hardens your heart and makes you a criminal, makes you live like a zombie. Sin destroys. Sin is like cancer. But the problem is, the cancer is in the one you love. So in the divine wisdom of God, in the Old Testament, there's only one solution. Those with cancer, those with the cancer of sin in the Old Testament, you know what's the solution? Kill them all. Open up the earthquake, close on them. That was the solution in the Old Testament. Do you know that? Why is it that God doesn't do this today? Because of the cross. The cross. The cross. At the cross, God loved sinners, all of us. And God judged sin. How? In the body of His Son. God separated the two. Amen. When Jesus walked on this earth, He demonstrated a picture of this. Somebody is demon possessed. He judged the devil and He loved the possessed one. Amen. He drives the devil out and He embraced the one who was possessed. Somebody has disease, leprosy, killing the person slowly, dying slowly every day. Not only that, he can never hug the ones he loved. No physical human contact. Jesus touched him, killed the disease, and leavened the man. Only grace can do that. See, only grace can do that. Amen. So all that, when you come to God and you feel like, oh, I've sinned against God. But the moment you know Jesus, no problems. I can come to God because God is now enriched by what Christ has done. And that's why the Bible used the term 5 times in Romans 5. The words much more, much more. What Christ did is much more than all that Adam did. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to the sins against man. Let's drop down to chapter 6. We read this just now. If a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor, so even though you're sinning against man, ultimately all sins are truly against the Lord. When David sinned by committing adultery with Bathsheba and then murdering the husband, David prayed a prayer that's recorded for us in Psalms 51. And David prayed like this, against thee, against you, you only have I sinned. Now, wait a minute. He sinned against so many people. Even the entire nation that trusted him. But what did he say to God? Against you. He realized finally all sins is actually sins against the Lord. All right? So, if you sin against another person, the Bible says, however, whether you have lied, cheated, robbed. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found. He must restore it. or all that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore its full value. So in other words, if you rob from somebody, you have to restore back to the person the full value. And not only that, add 1/5 more to it. Same thing, 120%. Just now we read, when you sin against the Lord in the holy things of the Lord, even ignorance, you still must bring your lamb, and then what? You have to give God what? 120% more. We cannot, but our lamb did, right? Gave back to God 120% glory, praise, honor than God ever received from creation. Now, sins against men. How many of you have said this to yourself? I wish I never said that. I wish I had been kinder. I wish I never lost my temper. I wish I can turn back the clock. Turn back the clock. Something like that. Turn back the time. All right. I wish I can reverse time. I wish I can go back. I wish I never did that. How many of you wish that? All right. The thing is this. It's done. But you know something? Watch this. Restore its full value and add 1/5 more. So the one who has injured, the injurer, must restore to the injured 120% more. You understand? Okay? But how many people can restore back to the injured? Many a times we cannot. Right? Now, I'm not saying in every case you cannot. Sometimes you steal something, the book is still there, return it. Some people borrow my book and never return it. It's called stealing, okay? And these are Christian people that borrow from me, you know. They never return. So you still have that thing down there, return it, and usually when they return it, it's less value than the full value. Correct? Right? But none of us, all this points to Jesus. None of us can return to our neighbor. Let alone, don't know about 120%. Even the full value, we cannot. Am I right? So guess what? Jesus at the cross also took the place of sinning against man. He took our place. He never sinned, but he took our place. And guess what? Not only God has become a gainer, the injured man, the man who was deceived, the man who was cheated, has now become a gainer through what Christ has done. He has received, because Christ took the place of the injurer, Christ has to restore to the one who is injured, the one who is cheated, 120% much more. Ooh. Wow. Wow. You know what that means or not? Whenever you have done wrong, all the voices that cry in your head from outside is from the devil. All right, from inside is your conscience. It all shouts, guilty, 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 you must pay. Something will happen. Something will happen to your health. Something will happen to your family. Something will happen to your career. Now you have sinned. Now you have sinned. Something will happen. Isn't it wonderful to know about the trespass offering? That instead of fearing what the voice of accusation is saying, we can go to God and say, Father, because Jesus is my trespass offering, all right? Whatever I've lost because of my sins, whether it's health, whatever it is, I receive 120% much more health, favor, wisdom, knowledge, prosperity. Hallelujah. That's what you should be praying. That's what you should have, the attitude. Come on, church. Some of you are still worried about something you have done last year, last month, last few months. Let me tell you this. But Pastor Prince, aren't you making light of sin? No, I'm not. I'm making heavy of Jesus. Man, I'm giving weight, glory. I'm making something glorious out of what Jesus did. Amen. How can you say that? It's not us, you understand? In other words, Jesus, on our behalf, he took the injurer's place, the one who injured others. The first one injured God's rights because God is the creator. He took our place. And he gave back to God 120% more. We need to know that when we come to praise God and worship God, God enjoys redemption much more than creation. That's why our praise and worship, you know who covers our praise and worship? Jesus' fragrance. Everything you do, all right, sends forth a rancid smell, you know? It's like something bad, all right? An ill savor goes up. You know, all over the earth, all kinds of ill savor. The word abomination is actually smelly. like the smell of a dead rat after a few days. That's the word abomination. But you know something? The Bible says Jesus' death exudes a sweet fragrance of rest. And that's why the Bible says all those who accept Christ, we are unto God a sweet aroma of Christ. When you come to prayer, all right, God smells sweet fragrance of Christ because Christ covers you and none of your ill savor goes up. Your bad thoughts don't go up. Your evil words don't go up. Your wrong actions don't go up. Only the sweet fragrance of Jesus Christ goes up to God. Amen. You know why? You are in Christ. Amen. What did I just say? It's all good. Amen. It's from the Lord. Amen. Amen. A sweet smelling fragrance. The Bible says in the meal offering, that every thought of Jesus, every word, every deed when he walked in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on this earth, every word, every thought, every deed exudes a fragrance. You know he's the only one who never have to apologize for anything he has said? Do you know that he's the only one who never have to recall a word or retrace a step? You know, he is the only one who don't have to justify. And I find him so cool when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He never justifies himself. You can say what you want to say about me. Someone says he's from the devil. He just goes on healing the sick. I mean, I find him totally different. He's helpful, but never lose the dignity. He can wash your feet and stand up, and everybody sees the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's like when we are famous, you know, we are unapproachable. There is a sense of coldness about us. When Jesus is famous, he used his fame to heal the sick. Everywhere he went, people find him out. The crowds will come to him, and he will heal all their sick, never saying, I'm too tired. I'm just too tired today. Never. In fact, his friends had to drag him away. Because he said, hang on, one more. Go home to your friends. One more. Everyone just touch him. I love it, man. One day, if only Hollywood can have a movie where people, you know, he just walks on the street and everywhere that he walked, you know, we were there on the streets. They uncovered the streets of Bethsaida already, the place where Jesus walked, that 2,000-year-old city. And the Bible says when Jesus walked along that street, people would reach out and touch his garments, and everybody that touched were made whole. And I used to wonder what? I'm thinking of Orchard Road. I'm thinking of one end of the road to the other, and how in the world can people, but the Bible says they line them up along the roads. How can sick people who cannot walk, they all line up, and they all can reach out and touch Jesus when they uncover the 2,000-year-old road in Bethsaida, and we have a picture of it. In fact, I should have prepared that. I have my pastors all lined up on the ground. I'm Jesus, of course. That's the privilege of being the senior pastor. So I had all my pastors lined up on the right and on the left. And you know how big was the road? All right? Half of this stage here in front. Not the entire stage. Okay, follow me. From here, all right, probably to here. That's it. That's how large it is. So imagine Jesus walking down here. As he was walking in the center, all right, all my pastors were reaching out like this. And you know something? The only way I can think of is I can touch their hands as I walked. And the Bible says, what an amazing sight. In front, everyone on the ground. Most of them cannot walk. Behind, everyone is jumping. Imagine that. What a scene. If only Hollywood can see it. Imagine that. You know former, you know, wrestlers and star celebrities going into like indoor stadium, you know, they'll slap their hands and give high five to people. Nobody has changed. Jesus, even you don't get to touch his hand. You touch the hem of his garment, the cancer is gone. The disease is gone. And they're jumping out, hugging their loved ones behind. And the Bible says that's what happened. They laid them out in the streets, wherever he went. And the Bible says virtue went out of, power went out of him and healed them all. Hallelujah. There was 120% and much more in him. When you touch, you are more healed than before you were sick. Amen. Many people I know, when they get healed, in the area they get healed, they are stronger in that area than they ever were before they were healed. I have a problem when I was in school, a long-term problem. I cannot talk properly. Mark cannot talk properly. So, I had this problem for a long time, until secondary school, and then at pre-U level, pre-university level, I still had the problem. And one day I told God, I was so discouraged because every time I stood up in class to read, the girls would start laughing. My ears go red. And then they laugh even more. There is no difference nowadays also, but they still laugh, you see? You know, but I hope they laugh for a different reason. And, you know, I would just start I just cannot speak. One day I prayed, Lord, your grace can change so many people I see in different areas. Alcoholic, transformed to a sober man. Thieves are transformed into generous givers. Your grace can change me in this area. I said, change me, God, by your grace in my mouth, Lord. And I never dream of preaching for the world, to thousands. I just want to be able to talk. And now, I think I've got 120% in this very area where it lacked. Amen? And what he did for me, he can do for you. So what I'm trying to say is this. Even from creation, I was created in my mother's womb. All right? I never was able to talk like this. But grace at the cross, he gave back the fullness and he added 1/5 to it. That's his style. Amen. So when you sin, all the thoughts that were shooting in your head from the demonic powers around, and all the thoughts that were come up from within you, from your conscience, will say, there, die, die. You have done wrong. Now you gotta expect bad things to happen to you. Now, something bad will happen to your family. Something bad will happen to your children. Something bad will happen to your marriage. Something bad will happen to your future. Be expecting it. All right? Now, don't put up your hands. How many know these voices? What a joy when you know the trespass offering, to come to God and say, Lord, in this very area that I've sinned, I thank you that you have forgiven me. And I receive 120%, much more health, much more youthfulness, much more favor, much more wisdom in all these areas that I lack. Amen. Come on, church, give him praise. Hallelujah. The very opposite. Amen. Now, you must be careful. All right? I am not saying sin purposely to get 120%. All right? That is stupid. I just told you how terrible sin is. It's like purposely get cancer to enjoy the cure. Would you like to? But what I am saying is that there is 120% because of what Jesus did at the cross. Okay? The injured party has become a gainer. Amen. Even God has become a gainer. If we can say it like this, he has become richer. All right? We cannot say God becomes richer. He's always rich, but he has become a gainer. Man has become richer. That's why today, even the lawsuit is all based on the trespass offering. All modern laws is based on the Mosaic law. It has its foundations there. Where the injured party becomes richer than before he was injured. It's based on the cross. Actually, God wrote all this for us to know what Jesus did for us. Now, some denominations and some bodies of believers, when I was a young Christian, I still remember them teaching that whatever you have sinned, you have done wrong to people, you must repay back, you must make restitution. How many heard you must make restitution? In other words, if you're stolen, you must pay back what you have stolen. Now, like I said, if you still have my book that you borrowed 10 years ago, please return it, okay? Perhaps the full value is no more there, but I want it back, you know? But the thing is this, where you can make restitution, do it. Of course, do it. It's good for relationship. But that's not what this aspect, all this is teaching. It's teaching about what Jesus did. Do you understand? In fact, if you carry it too far, the danger is this. All right? You tell people, you must make restitution. All of a sudden, they get into works. They try to do things to atone for their sins. Instead of looking to Jesus once and for all sacrifice to atone for their sins, they are looking to their works. I must pay back. I must do this. If I go by that, I can never pay back some things. Because I remember as a young boy, I stole a marble from a provision shop in Malaysia. I'm a Singapore citizen, born in Singapore, but I lived for 8 years of my childhood in Malaysia, in Perak. And last year, I went back to my hometown where I grew up, and I looked for that provision shop. It is in the village. And the Indian man that used to run, the elderly man, all right, neither he nor the provision shop is there anymore. There's a new building there. Now, how am I going to repay him? Had I seen that old man, if he's still alive, I'll probably give him $100, much more than one marble. And I stole the marble. When I was about 5 or 6 years old, I forgot how old I was, but I remember stealing the marble because my parents didn't buy me the marble that I wanted. So when the old man was looking the other way, I took the marble and put it in my pocket. And he has haunted me every day. No, I'm just teasing. You see, I'm not able to pay. Am I supposed to be bothered by the... Sometimes the people you cannot pay are people who have passed away. So this teaching that says, you must pay, all right, can bring you into bondage. You don't watch it. I remember a true story of a man who drove under the influence. He was drinking and he knocked down a young lady, killed her. The family of that young lady brought him to court, won the case, the lawsuit. I forgot how much it was. Let's say it's about 50,000. The very interesting thing and the very unusual thing about this case is this. The parents of the girl that was killed wanted this man to pay every single week. I forgot what's the amount, okay? So, but I know how it works. There's an amount, but they want him to pay like this. Every week, not pay one time. They put in the clause, they don't want him to pay the entire thing. They want him to pay every week 5 cents. 5 cents, 5 cents, 5 cents. In other words, for the rest of his life, they want him to remember what he did. It was a number of years after that. He was faithful in paying, but he could not take it anymore. Why can't he take it? Because he's always reminded of what he has done wrong. It can make you sick. That's why people do not know the cross and what Jesus did. Even Christian people who emphasize the law instead of the cross can fall sick because of guilty conscience. Do you understand? No one knows I committed this sin a number of years ago. But my conscience knows. And it bothers me. That's a dangerous thing. You must revert back to the cross. You must say, God, you know what happened there? Well, I received now your 120% much more grace, much more life. Amen for that area. You probably don't hear this kind of preaching often. In the very area where you fell, receive 120% much more. So finally, the guy can't take it anymore. He went to court and he pleaded his case. And you know what? The court granted him to pay the entire thing. What a terrible thing to make someone remember their sin. It's a true story. How can you pay everything? Remember that Jesus was crucified? There were two thieves beside him, one on the right, one on the left. They were thieves. They were robbers beside him. You know why Jesus died between two thieves? To redeem you and I from being stolen left and right. Amen? Amen. He redeemed us from being stolen left and right. Especially the devil who steals from us. You know, it's not just money the devil steals. He steals childhood. He steals relationships. The devil steals your health. He steals your best years. He wants to make you grow older than before your time. The devil wants you to think that what you are pursuing right now is really what matters. But what's the point having billions in the world but you lose your soul? So So at the cross, Jesus was crucified between two thieves. Now, in the beginning of his crucifixion, the Bible says he was crucified for 6 hours. From 9 a.m. when he was first crucified until 12 noon, he suffered under the hands of men. He still addressed his father as father. Okay? But from 12 o'clock until 3 p.m. where he expired, all right, he suffered under the hands of God. Not under the hands of his father, under the hands of God. You understand? As father, God's heart was broken. As God, he had to judge him for our sins. Okay? So, the Bible tells us the two thieves, both, not just one of them, both ridiculed Jesus, mockery of him. They said things like, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and save us also. Both of them, the Bible says. But then later on, one of them repented. Why? Why did he repent? I submit to you, he saw the way Jesus behaved. The moment his hands were pierced and they put him up there, and the cross fell into the hole and jolted his whole being. Instead of screaming, expletives, bad words, anger, hatred towards the people, his first shout is the first of the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. The very first saying, the very first word is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sin in ignorance, he put everybody under the trespass offering. Now, the thief was watching all this. And the thief, look at the way he talked to his mother. He was still thinking about his mother. You know, most of us, when we are in pain, even we have a toothache, you know who we think about the whole day? Ourselves. I, me, myself. I got no time to think about you, right? I mean, when we are in pain, look at that. His hands were pierced. His back was already in ribbons. Tattered in ribbons. Shred. He could not even carry the cross. He fell down. He had to have help to carry the cross. And when he was crucified, his whole being shuddered in pain. And worst of all, he was carrying our sins. His holy nature never knew sin. And now the very extreme shock that went through his whole system to become sin and bear our sin. No one suffered like Jesus. And yet the words that came out, Father, forgive. No one is like Jesus. So somewhere along the way, one of the thieves repented. And the first word from this thief's mouth was, Lord, the first word. That means what? He's saved. Lord, he called Jesus Lord. Even that night before, at the Lord's Supper, when Jesus said, one of you shall betray me. One by one, the disciple says, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Came to Judas. Judas says, Rabbi, is it I? Notice that. It tells you straight away how he saw Jesus. And this guy called Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did Jesus say? Today, you shall be with me in paradise. Wow. Just like that, the dying thief rejoiced to see the fountain in his day. Amen. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. Now, the thing is this. If we believe the way some people are teaching, that everyone must do restitution, then how about the thief? He's a thief. Thief means he has stolen, right? Imagine he turned to Jesus. Lord, remember me when you come to the kingdom. Jesus turned to him and Jesus says, yes, but first you must do restitution. And a thief. Huh? You must do restitution. I would like to, Lord. But I'm kind of stuck. How many are glad it's not like that? Hallelujah. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. Today. Today. Hallelujah. Like that. The thief was saved. Well, Pastor Prince, you make it very easy for people to be saved. Not me. Don't give me the praise. It's Jesus. He made it easy. Easy doesn't mean cheap. Easy doesn't mean it was without a price. Doesn't mean cheap. You know, some people are just, well, you make it sound so easy for, you never know. You never know what happened in the last moment of your grandfather's death, your grandmother's death, because you are safe. You are in the family. How do you know that your grandfather, your grandmother never had a dream in Chinese, in Cantonese, in Mandarin? All right? Jesus appears and says, would you like to go? Say, yes, Lord, safe. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus, you shall be safe and your house. Amen. You'll be surprised who'll be in heaven. Yeah. And yet there are people who say things like, well, Pastor Prince, you make it sound so easy for people to be safe. It's not me. Don't give me the praise. It's God. Amen. But easy doesn't mean it's cheap. Yep. Just simple word, Lord, remember me. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I dove vile as he washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. And there may I dove vile as he washed all my sins away. There is a missionary called Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot, his story was made famous in the book To the Gates of Splendor. It's become a movie already. It's a true story of this missionary called Jim Elliot who went to South America, to a remote jungle area where there's a tribe of cannibals lived. He preached to them about Jesus Christ, and yet they killed him and probably he suffered their cannibalism. Sometime after that, a plane came to that place, and in that plane was the wife of Jim Elliot and some other missionaries. And they preached to the entire cannibal tribe, and they all got saved. Even the chief got saved. And the chief later on confided with the wife how he killed the husband. But now the chief himself becomes an evangelist. The entire village is now Christian. Amen. It's amazing how grace can take a thief and makes him a generous giver. I saw another story recently, I think on Nat Geo or Discovery Channel, of a documentary of the Yakuzas, the Japanese gangsters. It's actually a documentary about the gangsters in Japan. As I was watching the story, there was this segment where they showed this man who offended his gangster boss, and their custom is that when you offend the boss, you have to cut off your finger, your smallest finger. Wrap it up and give it as an offering to your boss. If your boss accepts it, that's it, you remain. So this guy offended his boss and he has to cut off his finger. But I look at his face and he was sharing his testimony, his life story. And his face was shining with the glory of God. And I look at him and turned out he was a pastor of a church in Tokyo. All right? He has one missing little finger, pinky finger. And he says he was a former Yakuza member. And now his church is made of former Yakuza members. Isn't it like God to take someone who has been in the mess, who has injured others, hurt others, fill him up with the Holy Spirit, give him 120% much more grace, and send him in the midst of where he has injured others to be a great blessing? Where do people have this idea that grace gives you license to sin? No, grace makes a thief a giver. Amen. Grace makes this Yakuza member a pastor to go back among those other members and get them safe, not afraid for his life. And now he has a church. And I saw them raising their hands, singing songs that sound like Hillsong songs. What a testimony to the glory of God. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Now, I want to minister to you real quick. I want you to place your hand on your heart. All right. I want to talk to those of you whose sin has been haunting you. I know we have all sinned in various ways, at various times down through the years, but perhaps there's one particular sin or two that is really bothering you. It may be something that you have done as long as a number of years ago or as recent as a few weeks, but it's bothering you. It's really bothering you. Now, I want you to know that Jesus did not just die as your burnt offering. He died as your trespass offering. He has given back to God 120% and much more, all that God has lost because of your sins. So my friend, it's time to receive your 120% much more. Are you ready? For yourself, for your family, for your children. Do not listen to the lying voices that say, because of your sin, your family will suffer. Your health will suffer. Your peace will suffer. Your future will suffer. Instead, look at Jesus Christ, at what He has done for us at the cross. Look at that battered and bruised and crushed body on that tree. The 120% paid. Now say this, Heavenly Father, for all that sin, I thank You. You have forgiven me. I hate these sins. I hate them. And I thank You. Jesus Christ is my trespass offering. And He died for all these trespasses, for all these sins. And not only He died for me, He has restored to You, Father, 120% and much more. All that was robbed, all that was taken from You, Lord, You have received much more through what Christ has done for me. And Christ has restored to me everything that I've lost, be it my sin or Adam's sin. I receive 120% and much more health, favor, wisdom, prosperity, and life, and much more youthfulness and strength and energy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! It's mine! It's mine! Come on, shout, it's mine! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. And now once again, every head bowed, every eye closed, wherever you're watching this, if you are without Christ, without God, without hope, without the peace and without the joy unspeakable, my friend, you have come to the right place. You have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and how God sent His Son, the God who cannot lie. The God who cannot lie declares He loves you and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins. And all that's left for you to do is to receive a finished work. You're not to finish the work. It is finished for you already. You are to receive a finished work. And if you do that, God says, whatever Christ has done will be imputed to your account. What Christ is will be who you are in Him. What Christ has done will be your new title of all your riches before God. If that is you, wherever you are, you're watching this and you want all this, pray this prayer with me from your heart right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank You that You love me and send Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for all my sins. His precious blood washes me clean, whiter than snow. Christ has restored to me all that I've lost because of Adam's sin. Because of my sin, 120% and much more, blessings, favor, wisdom, so much more, Lord, holiness, so much more, intimacy with You, knowledge of You, so much more. I receive them. In Jesus' name, I proclaim Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
Hello, I'm so glad you could join us. I want to share with you about the Lord's restoration today. Did you know that as God's child, you can expect His much more restoration for every area of loss you've experienced?
Maybe you have suffered from a condition that has robbed you of health for a long time. Maybe you feel like you have lost your child to an addiction or sinful lifestyle. Or maybe you are living in regret over bad decisions you made, and you are saying to yourself, it's over for me. Beloved, because you are God's child, it is not over.
That's right, it's not over. God's powerful restoration is on the way. He wants you to experience restoration for everything the enemy has stolen in your life. I want to encourage you with a special teaching resource this month to help you learn all about your right to God's restoration. I want to show you from the scriptures that Jesus' finished work at the cross has qualified you for 120% restoration. That means you can come out a gainer, even when you have suffered loss. I believe this eye-opening and faith-building resource will be a huge blessing for you. So make sure you request this resource and be positioned to receive God's amazing restoration in your health, your family life, your finances, in every area the enemy has stolen from you.
This month, you will receive this 3-CD audio series, God's Plan for Your Restoration, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Respond now, and we will also send you a bonus sermon, Can You See the Angels Protecting You? Hear Joseph share truths on how you can live life unafraid, even as the world is plagued by new strains of viruses today. Learn how God wants to give you more than you can ever ask or imagine, and begin to experience His 120% restoration in every area of loss. And for your gift of $95 or more, receive a copy of Inherit God's Best, Don't Settle for Less, 4-DVD album. In this powerful resource, discover how God's best blessings are your rightful inheritance today, and begin to live out days of heaven on earth.
Are you hungry for what has been bought for you? Why did Jesus wear the crown of thorns? He can just go straight and die for our sins at the cross, because thorns represent the curse. The ground that God says, curse is the ground for your sake, Adam. Jesus sweat blood, and when His blood and sweat mingled because of the redeeming quality of Jesus' blood, He redeemed all of us from the curse of sweat because He loves us. That's your inheritance.
Don't miss this faith-building resource. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org today.
So I've been a yo-yo dieter my whole life. I decided to put Joseph's teaching to the test, and I thought, okay, I can't do this. I can't lose weight, I can't do it by myself. And it was like I just went hands off. And I just walked out of it. I'm in peace, and I'm such a different person. I'm so happy, I'm so content, and it's like I'm excited on what's going to happen next in my life.
My wife was pregnant. She developed cervical cancer. We decided we are not going to believe the doctor's report. We're going to believe the truth about what God says about us. So we began to worship Jesus and take communion at home. That same day, the symptoms began to diminish, and within 5 days, she was completely healed. I just want to thank you. Thank Pastor Joseph Prince for the message that he brings.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.